I climb way up to the top of the stairs. And all
up on the roof with the Drifters, another one of the great songs written by David Goffin. And the Drifters just sang that song. We are here now, as I said, in 1989, I was running a sheriff's campaign. We came in third. A young guy named Steve Snyder, and we got people out to vote in the sheriff's campaign that never voted for sheriff before, and people don't often vote for sheriff. But in that election, a man named John Anderson won that election because the man he took it from was somebody who was getting into legal trouble, and he took over that office and has been the sheriff since 1989. We called him to join us for this conversation. We did not hear back from him, but in the studio is Donovan Brooks, who is a Baltimore City Schools Police Patrol Supervisor. And former police chief of Fremont Heights Police Department. Good to have you with us, Donovan.
Thanks for having me.
Joining us by phone is Richard Parker, a former U.S. Legal Army specialist, businessman, community leader, and also a candidate for Baltimore City Sheriff. And Richard, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. Email us at steinershow@gmail.com, 410-319-8888. We want to hear your thoughts about this sheriff's race with our two candidates. And here we have a man who's been in there since 1989. And you two, everybody's writing these articles now and talking about this may be the time for one of the incumbents. Since the last time he ran, he won with 39.8% of the vote, Donovan. And so you tell me why. We'll go to Richard. Let's start with you. Why did you put your hat in the ring?
Well, I put my hat in the ring. This is Donovan Brooks, and I asked the listening audience for their vote. Put my hat in the ring because when I looked around my city and looked at the state of circumstances with regard to violent crime and the condition that some of our communities are in, and I looked at the position of the only elected law enforcement person in our city, and I saw disengagement. I didn't see visibility, and I didn't see the office being utilized in a most effective and efficient way. And so, you know, the old saying, when you think that you can do better, well, you know you can do better, then step forward. And so that's what I made the decision to do in February of 2013. I resigned my position as chief of police to focus on running my campaign for sheriff of my own city.
So you were chief of police while you were also working for the city schools?
Yes.
Okay. Just to get be clear about that. At Fairmont Heights, which is in Prince George's County.
Yes.
Right next door to the old town I lived in, Beaver Heights. And Richard Parker, why did you decide to leap into this race?
Well, mine is just a history of service. 17 years of military service, 13 years of working for the Maryland legislature as a legislative aide. Ultimately, I founded a Stop the Violence program called My Corner, My Street. I founded that program as a way of engaging citizens and having citizens take ownership for the increasing levels of crime that we were having in the city. So running for sheriff is just an extension of the history of service that I already had.
Folks, we do want you to join us here. What do you think about when you think about the sheriff's race at 410-319-8888? And why should we care about who's sheriff? I mean, when you look at sheriff, what do we think of? We think of people evicting renters who are down in their luck and can't afford their rent, and their stuff is all over the sidewalk. When people think of the sheriff's department, they think of that, and they think of the men and women who stand inside the courthouse there doing people's trials. So why should we care who runs that?
Well, we should care who runs the sheriff's office because, first and foremost, it is a very relevant and important position. Primarily, it is the only elected law enforcement position. It's not appointed as the commissioner. His position is appointed by the mayor and the council. The people of Baltimore City get to determine and get to hire for that position, which is why I've been on job interviews every day since February of 2013. It's important because you're correct. The perception is that it's just a job that deals with what you said, evictions. And as we talk to people—
Evictions and guarding the courthouse.
And guarding the courthouse. But a lot of people don't know that the sheriff's office has responsibilities when it comes to witness protection. It has responsibilities when it comes to investigating allegations of witness intimidation. Many times that witness intimidation takes place right inside of the courthouse and bringing those perpetrators to justice. They have a responsibility for not just the service of domestic violence orders, but also enforcement of those orders. They also have a responsibility for what we call violent repeat offenders who have these warrants, who are running around the streets of Baltimore, who continue to terrorize our neighborhoods. Right now, according to an article in the Sun paper on March 24th, there are currently 25,000 unserved arrest warrants in Baltimore City. And that leaves your family, my family, and the listening audience's family at risk of being a victim of a violent offender who should be off of the streets of Baltimore. Because you already spoke to the fact that the current sheriff has been there for a very long time, and I commend him for his 43 years of service, almost 30 of those as the sheriff of Baltimore, when he received the position by appointment, as you already alluded to, the fact that the other sheriff had to step down. But our city has changed in that time, and the things that impact our city have changed. And we need to evolve, and the sheriff's office needs to evolve. I represent the future of law enforcement, elected law enforcement in Baltimore City, and I'm a prepared candidate. So I'm not someone who just, you know, woke up with a bright idea that I wanted to be sheriff of Baltimore. Everything that I've done in my adult life in terms of public safety and law enforcement and community engagement has prepared me for this opportunity to lead, so that the citizens of Baltimore can pass the torch to Donovan Brooks and be confident that they have a competent person, because law enforcement competency is extremely important when you're going to head up a law enforcement agency. When the folks who take leadership from you come to you for advice and guidance, they want to come to a leader who has the competency and skill set required for the job that's being done.
Richard Parker, I mean, again, yes, sir. Why people should care?
Well, they should care because every time we're watching the news and every time we're seeing these numbers, these increasingly high numbers, these increasing spikes in crime in Baltimore, that the sheriff's office has a direct impact on that. The sheriff's office, with that criminal component to law enforcement, could actually be one of the proponents for change when it comes to crime in our city. So we tend to know, for those people who actually know of the sheriff's office and what the sheriff's office does, we kind of know it as the office that protects the courthouses, that serves summons and processes evictions. But we don't understand, for the most part, that there is a criminal component to it. And so that when we're seeing these spikes in crime, that sheriff's office that has primarily remained low-key over the last 25 years is an office that could be assisting the Baltimore City Police Department in combating crime just by merely living up to the responsibility of that office.
So, folks, join us here at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, and we're going to hear your thoughts on this race. People don't think of the sheriff's office as a critical race, but in many ways it is. And we'll talk about some of the issues that other sheriffs have done around the country when it comes to evictions and mortgages. We'll see what our guests think about that. We'll look at this question about how these outstanding warrants in Baltimore, the role you think the sheriff's office could play and how that could change, and talk about training issues and other things, and about issues right now of going on inside the sheriff's office at this moment with Sheriff Anderson, who is being sued by a former sheriff who ran against him, saying that she was facing discrimination in her job after she ran against him and more, and laying out things she laid out in her campaign. So join us with your thoughts, 410-319-8888. Know that we did call Sheriff John Anderson and did not return our calls and invitations to participate in the segment, though Donovan Brooks, who is a Baltimore City Schools patrol supervisor and former chief of police at Fairmount Heights, who's running for this office. Richard Parker, 17-year military veteran, businessman, community leader, is also a candidate here for sheriff of Baltimore City. Your thoughts at 410-319-8888. One of the interesting political aspects of this is, and talking about fundraising here, I made a joke earlier, Donovan, about when you first came in, about, you know, you're running one hell of a campaign for somebody who has not raised a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Richard Parker, you raised some money. But the money, that's just a political question for the two of you. And I'd asked John Anderson if he was here. The city paper did a long article on this race, and mostly about the fundraising efforts in this race. And one of the things they said about this was that Sheriff Anderson, most of the money that he raised was from people who worked for him, paying huge amounts of money on salaries. You know, that most people, when you give $2,500, most people who make $70,000 a year, $50,000 a year, don't give that much money for somebody who's running for office because you don't have that kind of money to give. So what are your thoughts on all that? What does it say to you, Richard Parker, about the way the sheriff's office is being run now?
Well, it's clearly unethical. I've read that paper, the city paper article as well. When a candidate is raising over 55% of their fundraising dollars come from people who work for them. Clearly, there's an ethical violation. Clearly, you know, we have any number of deputies working on our separate campaigns, on our respective campaigns, and I'm sure that the other candidate knows just as I do from the deputies who are working on our campaign that any number of people are kind of strong-armed into to donate into the current sheriff's campaign. That donating to the sheriff's campaign is tied closely to your position and what levels you're able to reach in the sheriff's office. So, I mean, clearly there are ethical violations, but all these things are public. They're very public, and they've been public for years. But even in research and doing our research and preparing for this campaign, I mean, articles dating back to the early 90s of financial mismanagement, hiring family members and family members of elected officials. There's just all sorts of impropriety in the sheriff's office, and that's why we need a change. And it separates us clearly for why we're running for this office.
Donovan Brooks.
Donovan Brooks, asking the audience for their vote. Listen, I appreciate the compliment. We have run a very rigorous campaign, and I'd be remiss if I didn't take a second to, one, thank my wife and family who have supported me throughout this opportunity. I have to thank my team who, for the past 80 hours before getting here today, worked very hard on the polls for early voting in the heat. And thank an organization that was created called Seniors Supporting Donovan Brooks, who are, as we speak, sitting in their homes making telephone calls to other seniors on my behalf in this campaign. Mark, when we talk about the money and the campaign finances, my father used to have a saying about certain things that you do in life. And when it comes to this whole political arena, I've realized that you can either buy it or you can build it. And what I decided to do early on is build a strong campaign and build relationships with people who share the same vision that I share. And those are the people who have been on this campaign trail with me and people who have joined our team. So we're building it. And we believe that that has far greater value than buying it. We're building trust. We're building the integrity of our campaign. And we're building a coalition of people who share the same vision. And that is what's going to lead us to victory. We saw with Cantor that, you know, $5 million against $200,000. That guy went into the community and he built it. And so that's what we're doing.
Well, we're here with Donovan Brooks, who just heard him speak, and Richard Parker. Both men are seeking to become the next sheriff of the city of Baltimore. And yes, it is an elected office. It is more than just about evictions, which we're going to talk about. It's more than just about guarding the courthouse. 410-319-8888. We're going to talk about their strategies for being more visible in the community, what that means to them, how they're going to do that. 410-319-8888. Let's go to the phones. And Betty in Baltimore, you're on the air. Welcome. Hi, Betty. Welcome. Do we have Betty on the air? Can we get the phones rolling here, please? Betty, hi.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to express the interest in this race. It is critically important, I believe. First, number one, I want to commend Donovan Brooks because he has run an absolutely fantastic campaign to really educate the voters. Believe it or not, Mark, all the years that I've been in Baltimore, it is only this year, maybe last year and this year, that the sheriff's office has even come into my view. And that is because we have a sheriff that has been totally inaccessible and unavailable. Even today, he's not on your show, even though I'm sure you invited him.
We did invite him.
Yes. And so this is a primary example of the kind of failed leadership that he provides for the citizens of Baltimore. I can't wait 30 years of this kind of missing in action and unresponsiveness to the concerns of the city of Baltimore is absolutely unacceptable, and it needs to change. And I fully support your efforts to also educate the voters. I thank you so much, and I hope everyone listening will support Donovan Brooks for Sheriff of Baltimore City. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call, Betty.
Thank you, Miss Betty.
We're here with Donovan Brooks and Richard Parker, both running to seek the nomination. There is a Republican challenger, probably in the general election, but running to seek the Democratic nomination for sheriff of the city of Baltimore. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Carlos in Baltimore. You're on the air.
My question to you is, with the growing Hispanic population in Baltimore City, what are the two candidates, do they have any kind of plan to implement teaching the current deputies Spanish or even hiring Spanish-speaking deputies to communicate with the Hispanic community efficiently? That's my question.
That's a really good question, Carlos, a really good question. Richard Parker, and then we'll go to Don from Books. Richard Parker, how do you answer that question?
My plan is public. I have a public plan for the sheriff's office. It's on my website, www.voteparker.org. It's something that has been distributed to the media some time ago and to throughout the community in the city of Baltimore. In my plan, so for us, I'm sorry, I'm having a technical problem with my phone. For my plan, the major points that we hit on are just executing, just doing any number of things that the sheriff's office should be doing. We know that they're responsible for executing warrants. So let's close out the warrants that exist. There's some 8,000 at least by the sheriff's own statement, but by other estimates, somewhere upwards of 25,000. Let's deploy deputies to patrol in the community. Let's open the office up to women and Hispanics. These are all components of my platform. So these things are nothing new to Carlos's question. And when we've touted or pushed for opening up the office to women and Hispanics, we were talking, one, to make the sheriff's office more representative of our city's population when it comes to women and Hispanics, but two, open it up to mobility. It's clearly known throughout the city, throughout political circles, that the sheriff's office has a ceiling for women and Hispanic persons. And that's something that needs to change. It's something that you can't just address during an election cycle. It's something that has to be ongoing, because we know that over this election cycle, he's promoted a certain amount of females just for this period. But that's something that has to be a part of how the sheriff's office operates year-round.
Well, we have to take a very brief break. We're going to come right back. And as soon as we come back, Don from Brooks, I want you to answer the question directly about what you will do about more Latino officers in the force. It's a growing population in our community. There's growing tensions in this town, unfortunately, between some segments of the Black and Latino communities. And what does the sheriff's office have to do with that, and what will you do? We'll be right back with our two guests, Richard Parker and Donovan Brooks, both seeking to become the next sheriff of the city of Baltimore. We're going out with the great Lionel Richie, who was born on this day, and we celebrate his birthday by giving you his music, who sang many soulful songs. Lionel Richie, born on this day in 1949.
Three times a lady, and I love you.
Take good care of my
rock and roll man, Bobby V. Take Good Care of My Baby, written by David Geffen, who passed away yesterday here at 75 years old. He and Carol King together wrote some of the great soul songs in our history. On our way to this conversation, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com, or you can log on to steinershow.org on our Facebook page, and the banner is right there for MeQ Baltimore's credit union. We are here with Richard Parker, 17-year military veteran, businessman, community leader, and candidate for the Baltimore City Sheriff's Office, Donovan Brooks, Baltimore City Schools Patrol Supervisor, former Chief of Police for Fairmont Heights Police Department in Prince George's County, also a candidate here for become the next sheriff of the City of Baltimore, 410-319-8888. And you will get to the next phone, David, the next call coming in. But Donovan, first, you were going to respond to the question from Carlos. Yes. About Latino officers.
Yes, Donovan Brooks, candidate for sheriff, asking the audience for their vote. Carlos, thank you for your question. It's a very important question. One of the things I decided to do in my campaign was to take a look at the international community, the growing international community that we have here in Baltimore, not just the Latino community, but we have a growing international population. So I created something called the SCIP, the Sheriff's Community Impact Partnerships. And what that is designed to do is to have a series of brain trust in the community to partner and target the root causes of crime, and also to build relationships throughout all communities of Baltimore City, specifically with regard to hiring Spanish and Latino deputies. It's very important that the sheriff's office is reflective of the community at large. So there will be, through our efforts, our hiring efforts, the opportunity to bring on more people of Spanish-speaking background and give folks an opportunity to participate in public safety and law enforcement in their communities. That's very important when we talk about collaborative partnerships within the SCIP.
I'm going to come back to the questions you just raised here, and we really do want to hit some issues here about just what all this means in terms of visibility for the Sheriff's Department and more. 410-319-8888. David in Baltimore, you're on the air.
British, thank you for my call.
Welcome.
I would like to actually commend Mr. Parker for what I've seen. I've actually seen both men throughout the communities walking around speaking and talking to people. And I actually like what I've heard from Mr. Parker. I've been born in this city, love this city, and like the other caller spoke of, this is the first time where I actually paid attention to the sheriff. Because, as you know, there's a lot of work that we could do throughout the city. And with the leadership in the government that the man have done, Mr. Parker, speaking of, as well as the military experience, I've just seen a spark to him that I like. He's a little younger than I am. Well, I should say a lot younger than I am. But I've seen a spark that I like. And I hope that if there is a way that people can actually, you know, read upon this website and see what's going on and maybe even put him in the office of sheriff, because we need some help out here.
David, thank you so much for your call. 410-319-8888 is the number here. So let me jump to a couple of questions here as we wait for these next few calls to come in at 410-319-8888. Feel free to write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. I can log on to our Facebook pages. I'm on there now to see if anybody's written. 410-319-8888 is the number here as we talk to two men who seek to become the next sheriff of the city of Baltimore. So we talk about, both of you have made an issue of these arrest warrants and fugitives. There is a fugitive task force run by the police department, and they have a whole department within the whole section of the Baltimore City Police that deals with that. So in reality, what role does the sheriff's department really play? Donovan Brooks, let me start with you. I mean, in this area, I mean, is this something that is just being touted because it sounds good? I mean, what do sheriffs actually do?
Well, sheriffs actually receive, and this is Donovan Brooks asking the audience for their vote. Sheriffs actually receive a number of warrants that come into the office that need to be executed. And as you say, there is the warrant apprehension task force, which they have members of. Under my leadership,
There are sheriff's deputies on that.
Yes, on that task force. Okay, right. Under my leadership, we'll broaden that. We'll collaborate with federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies to bring the sheriff's office to the front lines of crime fighting by deploying our manpower and our resources and distributing it in an effective manner that does a couple of things: helps to protect witnesses, helps to drive down recidivism by getting involved in organizations and agencies that help folks with reentry, and also to have a coordination with the state's attorney's office. Now, when we talk about these warrants, one of the things that I took a look at is some best practices that are being implemented around the country. There have been a few places who've had a huge backlog, some areas that have had a huge backlog of warrants. And what they created was amnesty programs. And under my leadership, I would look at doing the same thing. So I would collaborate with the state's attorney's office as well as the chief judge. And we would take a look at the nonviolent, very minor offenses, people who miss traffic court or something like that, and there may be a warrant for their arrest. And quite frankly, they may be afraid to come forward. They may, you know, have a job that they're at risk of losing. What we would create is a rocket docket in collaboration with the state's attorney's office, whereby these people would be notified of the amnesty period. They could come in, pay whatever fine that they have to pay, go through the paperwork they need to go through, and proceed on, pay their fine, and go about their business. This would help to reduce the backlog of warrants, but what it also does is it allows the more serious warrants to really rise to the top. Now we're not wasting manpower and man hours and money. We're also not disrupting the lives of people who have had minor offenses or glitches. But this is how we have to implement strategies to make the office more effective. So that's one of the things that I would take a look at with regard to the warrants.
Richard Parker, how would you answer that question?
We don't even need to belabor the point. The Fugitive Apprehension Task Force is effective. That's a collaboration with the City Police Department and other law enforcement agencies. But the problem is that there's not enough being done by the sheriff's office himself. And that's just a matter of complacency. That's a matter of 25 years of being in office, 25 years of feeling entitled to being elected. And so not only is the current sheriff complacent, but his administrative staff is complacent. So there's not enough of a concerted effort focused toward closing warrants. And so that's why we have so many of these violent offenders roaming the streets, because there's not a concerted effort from the sheriff's office alone to close those warrants. And that's a matter of leadership. And so that's partially why I'm running. That's partially why I ask people to vote for Richard Parker for the next sheriff's office, because this is a matter of leadership. This is a matter of taking charge, discipline, and that discipline coming from the top down to do the job that people have elected you to do.
So I have a political question here, but before we go back to the phones, let me ask another question here that actually came in through chat. And I said earlier when we opened the show that one of the things that the sheriff's department, people know about it, is the sheriff's department evicts people from their apartments and also enforces throwing people out of their homes if they have mortgage issues with the bank. So the question directly was, will you enforce eviction notices? And B, what about mortgages and what are you going to do about them? Let me start again with Donovan. Let me start with Richard, then we'll go to Donovan to balance it out here.
That is a responsibility of the sheriff's office to process those evictions. What might be necessary is to, and this is where the legislative experience comes into play, and my 13 years of legislative experience comes into play, is that now you have to coordinate with city officials and with our state legislators to come up with a better way to process these evictions. And they honestly have to be looked at from both sides. They have to be looked at from the viewpoint of the tenant, but they also have to be looked at from the viewpoint of this business person, of this person who may not own several homes. They may only have one home that they own that they're renting out, that this source of income might be crucial to that person. So it's something that historically hasn't taken into account all stakeholders in the matter. And so you have to bring everyone to the table, the legislators who make the laws, the sheriff's office enforces that law, but we also need to bring to the table those property owners who also have a stake in this whole thing.
Donovan Brooks.
This is Donovan Brooks, candidate for sheriff, asking the audience for their vote for Baltimore City Sheriff. Listen, Mark, evictions. Now, fortunately, I've been blessed to never have been at the wrong end of an eviction, where I've never been evicted. I do empathize with those folks because we're still in a down economy. And people are confronted with a litany of issues. And that's why through the Sheriff's Community Impact Partnerships, it will be very important under my administration, Donovan Brooks's administration, for us to partner with those agencies and organizations that can provide resources and help to people who are confronted with these issues. But let me take it a step further. I understand how important this is, and what I decided to do is take it beyond words and put it into action. In December of 2013, I held a home foreclosure workshop and seminar, and I would like to thank the pastor of Mount Pleasant Church.
Heber Brown.
Yes, not Heber Brown. It's not Heber Brown.
That's right.
So we held the home foreclosure seminar there, and we were able to help 158 families. What I realized is that there are many people in our communities who suffer in silence. The sheriff's office is involved in the foreclosure process because they have to post that last writ of repossession. And instead of wanting to see someone standing on a sidewalk with their child who doesn't understand why they can't re-enter into the home, it was time to take action and bring those folks to the table with agencies and organizations who could help them in their situation. What we had on that day, Mark, is 22 pro bono attorneys on site. We had lenders from every major banking institution, as well as some of the smaller ones. And we had housing counselors. Now, why is this important? It's important for a 21st century thinker and a 21st century leader, as I am, to understand that there is a nexus between empty houses and communities and crime.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nexus between the impact on families, specifically children. Foreclosure does a lot more than just return a house to a bank. It uproots a family. It displaces children. They may have to go to different schools. Those things can create behavior problems. It can cause the breakup of marriages or what have you. So, and keeping the best interests of the community, I will continue programs like this under the Sheriff's Community Impact Partnerships. If there's something that impacts the citizens of Baltimore City, we're going to have some level of engagement with agencies and organizations, not just so we say that we have the partnership, but that we also educate the deputies as to what's going on in the communities so that we understand how to best respond to the needs, because this is still about protecting and serving and not just enforcing.
So let me go to the phones here, 410-319-8888. We talk with people who, the two men who are seeking to become the next sheriff of Baltimore, Donovan Brooks, you just heard. Before that, you heard Richard Parker. And we did ask, as I said, Sheriff John Anderson join us. He did not return our phone calls or our emails. 410-319-8888. Anthony in Baltimore City, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome.
Good morning. I actually had a question for both candidates.
Sure.
It's a two-part question. I'm actually familiar with the My Corner, My Street organization for the age bracket of 16 through 30, which is maybe the problem in the city. Mr. Brooks, what is your actual grassroots in the community for our age bracket? And what is both candidates plan to help the Baltimore City Police with the up violence rate and stuff like that?
Okay, good question. Why don't you start with you, Donovan Brooks?
Donovan Brooks, candidate for Baltimore City Sheriff.
He directed the first question to you.
Yes, for their vote. Thank you for your question, Anthony. In terms of my grassroots involvement, I'm the co-founder of the Northwest Bulldogs football and cheerleading organization. Me and my cousin, Roland Brown, started that organization back in 1998. When I came home from the military after serving 10 years active duty with the Air Force, he called me and told me that the organization that we grew up playing athletics in and having after-school activities in no longer had a sports program due to a lack of funding. So we wrote letters to community leaders and businesses in the area, and we started that organization. And since that time, over 5,000 young men and women who are now men and women who started in our program as children have gone through that organization, and the organization is still thriving. When it was time for us to hand it off to the next leaders of that organization, it continued to thrive. I've also done extensive work in our community with seniors and senior safety, helping seniors to understand how to safeguard and protect themselves against fraud, schemes, and scams. I went so far as to run public safety announcements on a couple of radio stations to heighten the awareness for seniors in our communities. And then I was elected to the State Central Committee, which is the only volunteer elected position that we have in our state, where I serve currently as the citywide chair of public safety and have visited and spoke at over 130 community neighborhood associations over the past year. So I'm a member of the community. I'm part of the community, so I understand the needs of the community. So everything I've done has been grassroots, and as Mark already alluded to early in this conversation, even this campaign has been grassroots. It's been about reaching people and building relationships, and it's been an incredible journey, and I thank you for your call. This is Donovan Brooks asking you for your vote, Baltimore City Sheriff.
Richard Parker.
Thanks for that question, Anthony. I guess Anthony kind of gave me a little step up, because in his question, he
he references the organization that I founded, the My Corner, My Street Stop Violence Program. So it turns out that you're already very familiar with my work in the community. It's not a work that came about during election time. It's a work that's taken place years before an election. So it's clear that I've been involved in the community, not just because I decided to run for office, but because I'm part of the community, and I've cared long before I've run for office to be involved in the community. So that My Street program has existed for some time. Its design was to make sure that community members became engaged with what's going on in their community, and that they didn't just leave the responsibility for what's going on in their community to the police department, to their elected officials. So in that way, Mark, are you still there? Hello?
Yeah, we're listening to you.
Oh, okay. Just like I said, I'm calling by phone, and I'm really having some problems right now.
No, we can hear you very well.
Okay.
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear, Richard. Coming through loud and clear.
Okay. So it's clear. Any number of people who've been involved in the community, any number of people who stay in tune with what's going on in the community are very familiar with my program, are very familiar with my efforts in the community. When it comes to attacking that 16 to 30-year age range, part of my plan attacks those things. Part of my plan is labeled clearing the corners. There's a major component of my plan that says we have to deal with the drug dealing by engaging these kids who are out there selling drugs, by engaging these people who are out here on the streets prostituting. And so in that way, my plan, as a result of engaging those people, of talking to those people who are out there on the streets doing any number of things, helped us to devise that we need to serve as a link. We need to use the sheriff's office as a link between the services that are available to help people and those who are in need. There are a lot of people in need. There are a lot of people who are selling drugs. There are a lot of people who are out there prostituting who don't necessarily care to do so, but don't see a way out of that. And I see the sheriff's office as serving as a link between the causes for them being there, a lack of employment opportunities, a need for job training, GED programs, mental health treatment, record expungement, mentoring, housing issues, drug and alcohol treatment. I see a sheriff's office under Richard Parker attacking those causes for people being on the streets, and this is an ongoing effort. It's an effort that existed with the program that I started. It's an effort that will continue after this race is over.
Let me just say that Richard Parker did want to be in studio, but he had a commitment at the community center to speak. That's why he's doing this by phone today. It wasn't that he didn't want to be here. I should add that. We did call Sheriff Anderson.
I definitely wanted to be with you, Mark.
I know you did. No, that's why I'm saying that. And Sheriff Anderson never responded to us. What you just said, I'm going to take as your closing statement at Richard Parker, because it was fairly lengthy, and I'm glad you had a chance to say that. And I want to give Donovan Brooks a chance for a closing statement as well before we have to go.
All right, Donovan Brooks, candidate for Baltimore City Sheriff. Listen, I am prepared for this opportunity. Now, I'm asking the voters of Baltimore City to vote Donovan Brooks for Baltimore City Sheriff. It's time we had a sheriff who is visible and who is engaged in the community. I've said before that I'm a prepared candidate. I think it's very important to present myself to the voters of Baltimore City as someone who is prepared to take the torch and lead this organization. I have a bachelor's degree in management from Johns Hopkins University, and I have a master's degree in public safety management and policy, also from Johns Hopkins University. I am a graduate of the FBI's Law Enforcement Executive Development School. As previously stated, I am a former police chief. I have law enforcement competency, and that's very important. What we don't need is more people in positions who don't understand what the real needs of the community are, but specifically the importance of the position. We remember FEMA, and we remember Michael Brown, and he was put in a position where he admittedly had no experience. And the first time that this country had to rely on and citizens had to rely on his knowledge and expertise, he failed. He failed because he did not have the knowledge, he did not have the skill set, he did not have the experience, and more importantly, he did not have the competence. I possess the competence, the knowledge, and the skill set to lead this agency into the 21st century. I can be reached at www.brooksforsheriff.com, and that's the number 4. You can also reach me on my Facebook page at Donovan Brooks for Baltimore City Sheriff. And I tell people when I travel around the community associations that if you have not seen or heard from the current elected sheriff, then on election day, I would hope that he would not see or hear from you at the ballot box. We do not have to go in and continue to pull the lever the way that we've pulled it for almost 30 years. There is now a viable alternative in this sheriff's race. His name is Donovan Brooks, and I'm asking for your vote for Baltimore City Sheriff.
And, Richard Parker, let me let you give your contact information since you didn't get a chance to do that. What's your contact information for people to get in touch with your campaign?
My campaign contact information is www.voteparker.org. VoteParker.org. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And our campaign contact number is 410-336-4215. That's 410-336-4215. That's a direct contact to me, Richard Parker.
So I'm going to thank you both for being here, Richard Parker and Donovan Brooks. Good luck on the campaign trail. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. One of you will be talking to us on Wednesday, I hope.
Thank you. Thank you. Vote Donovan Brooks for Baltimore City Sheriff.
All right. Thank you both, Richard Parker and Donovan Brooks. Two of the candidates for sheriff. We did, as I said, try to get a hold of John Anderson. He did not return our calls. Jerry Goffin's great hit. They put him on the charts. Was Little Eva. Locomotive. We'll go out with that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I know you get to.